ACCA Podcasts. Aspects of Tax Administration in Malaysia. Part 1. This two-part podcast is relevant to candidates preparing for the P6 MYS Advanced Taxation Exam. The podcast is based on the prevailing laws as at the 31st of March 2017. Candidates are presumed to have a working knowledge of the subject matter. This podcast collates and discusses the provisions in the Income Tax Act 1967 and the Real Property Gains Tax Act 1976 relating to tax administration. While listening to this podcast, you might find it helpful to refer, where necessary, to the relevant provisions of the two acts, as amended, and the relevant public rulings issued by the Inland Revenue Board. This podcast is relevant to the section of the syllabus and study guide falling under items A7, brackets B, B5 and B8. The areas covered are Part 1. A. Responsibilities as a taxpayer. B. Responsibilities as an employer. C. Rights of a taxpayer. Part 2. D. Powers of the Director General. E. Liabilities of a director. F. Responsibilities as a payer or acquirer. G. Statutory time bar. H. Advance or private rulings. And I. Tax audit and investigation. A. Responsibilities as a taxpayer. Notification of chargeability. Where an individual arrives in Malaysia in a calendar year and is chargeable to tax in Malaysia for that particular year or for the following year, they should notify the Director General that they will be so chargeable within 2 months of their arrival. Note that the responsibility to notify is applicable regardless of whether the individual is likely to be a tax resident or a non-tax resident. The responsibility applies as long as the individual derives income subject to tax in Malaysia. Furnish tax returns. Individuals. For each year of assessment, every individual who has chargeable income for that year and or the year before shall furnish a tax return in the prescribed form, Form B or BE, for that year of assessment. This should be done by the 30th of June of the following year if they carry on a business, or by the 30th of April of the following year if they derive income from other non-business sources of income. Companies, LLP and Trusts. These entities shall furnish the annual tax return within 7 months of the close of the accounting period, which constitutes the basis period for the year of assessment. A company is required by law to file its annual return by electronic medium or by way of electronic transmission. The annual tax return by a company must be based on accounts audited by a professional accountant. This is significant, as if the return is not based on audited accounts but on, say, management accounts, the said return is an incorrect return. It is therefore imperative that the annual statutory accounts be ready in good time for the tax return to be submitted within 7 months of the close of account. Notify any change of address. Every person chargeable to tax in Malaysia is required to notify the Director General of any change of address within 3 months of the change. The notification must be made in writing. Duty to keep sufficient business records. A person carrying on a business is obliged to keep and retain sufficient business records in Malaysia for 7 years after the end of the relevant year. Where the person is late in furnishing the annual tax return, the records must be retained for 7 years after the end of year in which the return is furnished. Where the gross annual business takings exceed 150,000 Malaysian ringgits, the person must issue printed receipts, serially numbered, for every sum received from their business activity. For persons who do not carry on a business, but who are required to furnish a tax return, records must be retained for 7 years from the end of the relevant year, or 7 years after the end of the year in which the return is furnished. Pay tax on time by instalments or monthly tax deductions. Generally, tax is payable when an assessment is raised, but taxpayers are given 30 days to settle the tax. If tax is paid beyond the 30 days, a late payment penalty of 10% is levied, and if payment is made beyond the next 60 days, there is an additional 5% penalty levied. Individuals. For an individual, employment income is subject to monthly tax deductions from monthly emoluments. For individuals who derive income other than employment income, the Director General may estimate their tax payable based on the preceding year's tax payable and require them to pay the estimated tax in instalments at prescribed due dates. If the estimated tax instalments are not paid within 30 days of the due date, a penalty of 10% of the amount unpaid or paid late is levied. Any balance of tax payable when the actual self-assessed tax is determined is payable on the due date, i.e. by the 30th of April or the 30th of June of the following year, failing which, a 10% penalty of the amount unpaid or paid late is levied. Companies, LLPs and Trusts. For companies, LLPs and Trusts, there is a requirement to furnish a tax estimate to the Director General not later than 30 days before the beginning of the basis period for that year of assessment. The tax estimate may not be less than 85% of the tax payable for the immediately preceding year of assessment. The tax estimated will be payable in 12 equal instalments, starting from the second month of the basis period. The payment of the tax instalment must be made by the 15th day of the calendar month. The tax estimate may be revised, upwards or downwards, in the 6th and 9th months of the basis period. The taxpayer is not required to provide any grounds or reasons for the revision. Thereafter, the amount of the remaining tax instalments will be adjusted accordingly. It is important to note that if the tax liability for the relevant year of assessment exceeds the tax estimate or revised tax estimate by more than 30%, there will be a 10% penalty levied on the amount in excess of the 30% buffer. For a newly commenced company, LLP or trust, if the first basis period is at least 6 months long, the first estimate of tax must be furnished within 3 months from the date of commencement of operations. The tax thus estimated will be payable in equal instalments over the number of months in the basis period, the first instalment being in the 6th month. Illustration 1. New Co. commenced operations on the 1st of April 2017 and closed its first set of accounts on the 31st of December 2017. The first basis period comprises 9 months for the year of assessment 2017. New Co. will need to furnish an estimate of tax for the year of assessment 2017 within 3 months, i.e. by the 30th of June 2017, and pay 9 equal tax instalments for the months of September 2017 through to July 2018. For the year of assessment 2018, New Co. will have to furnish a tax estimate by the 30th of November 2017 and pay its 12 tax instalments for the year of assessment 2018 by the 15th day of each of the months of February 2018 through to January 2019. For a newly commenced company which is a small and medium enterprise, SME, the requirement to provide an estimate of tax is waived in respect of the first year of assessment with a basis period and the immediately following year of assessment. An SME is a company which is resident and incorporated in Malaysia, and which, as at the beginning of the basis periods for the aforementioned first 2 years of assessment, has a paid-up ordinary share capital of 2.5 million Malaysian ringgits or less. A company does not qualify as an SME if either its holding company, its subsidiary, or a fellow group company has paid-up ordinary share capital of more than 2.5 Malaysian ringgits as at the beginning of the relevant basis period for a year of assessment. Illustration 2. The facts are as in Illustration 1, except that New Co. fulfills the requirements of an SME at both the 1st of April 2017 and the 1st of January 2018. New Co. will not be required to furnish a tax estimate for the year of assessment 2017 and the year of assessment 2018. The first year of assessment New Co. will furnish a tax estimate for is the year of assessment 2019, Basis period 1st of January 2019 to 31st of December 2019. The due date for furnishing the tax estimate is the 30th of November 2018. The proper management of the tax payment scheme is significant for a company, LLP or trust, as it directly impacts the cash flow situation of the business, and non-compliance or late compliance can result in punitive penalties. The occurrence of sudden or large increases or decreases in gross income, regardless of the reason, or any change in the paid-up ordinary share capital, should trigger consideration of any knock-on effect on the requirement or reliability of the tax estimate. Furnish information when required by the Director General. Every person is obliged to provide information called for by the Director General within the time stipulated. If the information is not provided within the specified time or extended time, and the information relates wholly or partly to a deduction claimed, the Director General may disallow such deduction under Section 39. Notify the date of death of a taxpayer. Section 74(3) of the Tax Act 1967 and Section 14(4) of the Real Property Gains Tax Act 1976 set a 3-year time limit for the Director General to issue assessments on the income derived by a deceased person. The 3-year period commences after the end of the year of assessment, in which the Director General is informed in writing by the executor of the death of the individual. Hence, the executor should notify the date of death of the deceased person as soon as possible, in order to restrict the 3-year time limit. Illustration 3. Mr. AB died on the 1st of December 2014, and Mr. XY is the executor. Mr. XY notified the Director General regarding the death of Mr. AB on the 29th of December 2014. The Director General has 3 years from the end of 2014, i.e. until the 31st of December 2017, to raise any assessment or additional assessment on Mr. AB for the year of assessment 2014 and or prior years. If Mr. XY had notified the Director General on the 1st of July 2017, the Director General would have had 3 years from the end of 2017, i.e. until the 31st of December 2020, to raise an assessment or additional assessment on Mr. AB for the year of assessment 2014 and or prior years. B. Responsibilities as an employer. Employers must do the following. 1. Deduct the monthly tax deductions from the remuneration of each of their employees in accordance with the schedule on account of tax. 2. Furnish an employer's return by the 31st of March following the end of the relevant year, containing all of the required information. 3. Prepare the annual statement of remuneration and make it available to their employees by the end of February following the end of the relevant year. 4. Notify the Director General within 1 month before an employee is leaving Malaysia for more than 3 months, or retain any monies due to a departing employee, under specified circumstances, for 90 days, and then pay this retained money over to the Director General, if so directed, towards payment of the employee's tax payable. C. Rights of a taxpayer. Right of appeal. The general requirements of a valid appeal are timeliness, submitted within 30 days of the issue of a notice of an assessment; proper form, the appeal must be made in writing using the appropriate form, Form Q; and substance, the grounds for making an appeal must be stated. Extension of time for appeal. With respect to timeliness, if a taxpayer is late in appealing, they may apply for an extension of time through a prescribed form, Form N, to the Director General, stating their reasonable cause. If the Director General is satisfied, they will grant the extension. Otherwise, they will forward the application for consideration by the Special Commissioners of Income Tax, a single commissioner, to decide, stating their reasons for dissatisfaction. The Special Commissioner's decision to grant or refuse the application is final. Time limits. The Director General has to comply with a time limit in processing the appeal of 12 months, plus extension of 6 months if the IRB applies before 12 months lapse, to review the appeal and transmit the case to the Special Commissioners of Income Tax. Case law has established that if the Director General fails to process the appeal within the time limit, the Director General may be deemed to have agreed to the grounds of objection and effectively agreed to the appeal by the taxpayer. Restriction to the right of appeal. With effect from the 31st of December 2014, the appeal provisions have been amended to restrict the right of appeal in respect of self-assessed original or additional assessments. Effectively, a person cannot appeal against their own assessment or their own additional assessment unless they are aggrieved by the public rulings issued by the Director General, or they are aggrieved by any practice of the Director General generally prevailing at the time when the assessment is made. Illustration 4. Company JK furnished a tax return for the year of assessment 2017 on the 31st of August 2017. The deemed assessment, under the self-assessment regime, is, among other things, based on the treatment of entertainment expenses in the public ruling 2015. Company JK does not agree with the treatment, but accepted the treatment as stipulated in the public ruling, mainly because it wanted to avoid any penalty for an incorrect return. Company JK will be able to appeal against the assessment with regard to the treatment of the entertainment expense. Illustration 5. Company EF furnished a tax return for the year of assessment 2017 on the 31st of August 2017. In the deemed assessment, under the self-assessment regime, Company EF has treated a substantial compensation receipt as taxable income, despite its view that it was capital in nature, to avoid any penalty. There is no position taken by the Director General in any public ruling issued thus far, and there is no general prevailing practice by the Director General in this matter. Company EF wishes to appeal against its own self-assessed assessment for the year of assessment 2017 with regard to the taxation of the compensation receipt. Pursuant to Section 99 brackets 4, the right of appeal is not available to Company EF. Note, it appears that Company EF should take a position that the compensation receipt is capital in nature, therefore not subject to tax. If in future the Director General conducts a tax audit, discovers this treatment, but determines that the compensation receipt is revenue in nature, they could subject the receipt to tax and impose a penalty. Company EF will then be able to appeal against the Director General's additional assessment. No right of appeal. There is no right of appeal with regard to the following assessments. 1. Composite assessment, because such an assessment is made after an agreement has been reached between the Director General and the taxpayer. 2. Increased assessment, because this is an assessment raised to give effect to a decision by the courts. Error and mistake relief. The required conditions are 1. The person has paid tax. 2. The person alleges that the assessment is excessive by reason of an error or mistake made by them. 3. The assessment has not become final and conclusive. Note, IRB's practice is to accept that no valid appeal does not automatically mean final and conclusive. 4. The person applies for relief within 5 years of the end of the year of assessment within which the assessment was made. The application procedure for error and mistake relief is similar to an appeal, as is the processing by the Director General, except that the time limits differ slightly. Note that there is no provision for extension of the time limits like there is in respect of appeals. Alternatives to error and mistake relief. With effect from the 1st of January 2017, there is a new provision, Section 131A, which provides relief for amendment of an assessment due to retrospective approval of an exemption, relief, remission, allowance or deduction, etc., granted after the filing of tax return. Another opportunity for amendment concerns the retrospective deductibility of payments to non-residents after a late compliance with withholding tax provisions. As this is recent legislation, candidates are encouraged to read in detail and analyse the provisions of Section 131A to obtain a proper appreciation of its application. Part 2 of this podcast will deal with other aspects of tax administration.